If you turn in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah, once again, it's in the middle of the Bible. If you took any Bible and you opened it in the middle, you'll find it there. It's the prophets. It's after Proverbs and before all the other prophets. 53, and it's the bit of a dialogue that describes a suffering servant. If you ever have a Jewish friend who doesn't believe that Jesus is the Messiah, you don't let him know what you're up to, but you say, can I ask you a question about this? Can I read this to you? You know, maybe you don't say it's Isaiah. Maybe you say, can I read you something from the Bible? And you read it, right? So page 742, if you got a pew Bible. It says, who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, afflicted. He did it for us, but we figured he had it coming. But he was pierced for our transgressions, it says in verse 5. He was crushed for our iniquities. On him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that's led to the slaughter, like a sheep that is before its shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked and a rich man in his death. Although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. It's because of this that Jesus is able to say in Luke chapter 7, as he turned to the woman, your sins are forgiven. And then those who were at the table began saying among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? So we've got this story, don't we? We've got this story, and it's about the leadership of Simon the Pharisee. And that was lacking. And the hospitality that was afforded by a woman who was there, who was lightly esteemed. Anybody in this room, whether you think you're esteemed or not, your contribution to the life of the church is as important as this woman. She's not the more important person in the Bible story. And Simon is not the lost soul these people, really, they're known, when you hear the name Pharisee, it's almost like the biblical literature says this is the guy who's trying to trick Jesus up, trip him up. But he did open his house and have Jesus in and seek to find out from Jesus and ask Jesus questions and hope that the rabbi would have something to say to him. And he did. But this story is really a lot about worship. What was the worth of Jesus visiting that Simon the Pharisee afforded him when he overlooked basic hospitality? Washing his feet, giving him a kiss, welcoming in the door. You know, one, two, come on in. Right? Anointing his head with oil. People walking around living in the desert, come on in, have a shower. Join us at the table after you feel rinsed off. It'll be great. I think that's the way we would think about it now compared to then. Jesus is the Messiah, and the party guests recognize this claim that he's making. Only God forgives sins. Jesus just did. He turned to someone and said, your sins are forgiven. And they're like, dude, he just said he's God. Who can forgive sins?